Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So, this morning I'm going to try not be too long. It's quite a long passage of scripture that we are going to go through. But same as last week, we're going to be a bit more devotional and a bit less theological. You know, for the last 2 years, as we worked verse for verse through 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, I think we quite grounded in that theological one. And just to be a bit devotional to the end of the year is what I want to do for us this morning. And our title this morning is The Water and Bread of Life. The Water and Bread of Life. And we are going to work through a passage of scripture where Jesus actually uses earthly things, bread and water, or food and water, to come and illustrate deep spiritual principles to us. And actually a need we have as human beings. And maybe before we dive in, I want to ask us two questions. Because in this passage, Jesus addresses two groups of people. The one is unbelievers, those who do not yet follow Jesus, those who do not yet know Jesus. And then also the disciples. In explaining principles to them when it comes to finding fulfillment in life, finding satisfaction in life, being filled. That's what Jesus is busy speaking about. And maybe even before we begin and ask the first question, I just want to maybe make this statement that for us in a traditional Western culture, we hear about Christianity often and from a young age. Something that we grow up with. And many times the biggest stumbling block to our relationship with God is the misleading idea that we already have one. A lot of us don't follow God because we think we somehow automatically already have been following God our whole life. And maybe just to ask the question there where you sit, how many people that you know do not identify as Christian? And I'm saying identify as Christians. You don't have to get very theoretical. And they say they are, but I'm doubting that they if I'm just saying, who says they are? How many people do you know that say they are Christian? Maybe the other way around, how many people that you know do not identify as Christian? And I think for most of us this morning, maybe you cannot think of a single person that do not identify as Christian. Maybe one or two there in the workplace, or here maybe one. But for most of us, more than 90% of the people we know identify as Christians. For most of us. I know in some cases it's different, but for most of us. And the problem is that Jesus speaks in Matthew 7 and he explains something to the people and he says, narrow is the way, small the gate that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Big the gate, broad the way that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Jesus says few find life, many end up in destruction. So how is it that our reality says something different? And the most probable explanation is that we have a misconception regarding salvation. Amen. In our Western culture. It's not something that we should jump past too quickly. For years I thought I was saved before I got to know God and actually became saved. And I think for many of us that's the case, amen. So don't jump past that reality too quickly. But the question I want to ask us this morning is, are you satisfied? Is jy tevrede? Are you satisfied? Black Friday's passed, you bought all that stuff now. Is it? Are you satisfied? Maybe for some of us it didn't come yet. It's nog op pad. Give courier guy a week and then I'll be satisfied. Or wherever you imported whatever from. But Jesus says, John 10:10, I came to give life. And so the question is, does it feel like you are living? Do you feel like you've received that life that Jesus speaks of, that life in abundance? That has nothing to do with earthly things, prosperity in that way. Or do we often find ourselves unsatisfied, unfulfilled? And many times it's easier to identify the thing we long for rather than the fact that we are unsatisfied. So maybe a different question is, are you constantly finding yourself longing for things? Because if you long for food, you're hungry. If you long for water, you're thirsty. So the longing for expresses the fact that I'm unsatisfied. I'm not fulfilled. Do you find yourself longing for things? And thinking, man, if I just that, or work here, or do that, or go here. And specifically in the vacation, the holiday times. Maybe some of us are, yes, finally we can just do that, or do this, or do that, then I will be. And don't get me wrong, physical rest is important. Sometimes it doesn't matter, you know, physically, if you're physically tired, doesn't matter how many chapters of scripture you read or how many hours you pray, if you don't sleep, you'll remain tired. That's just how it works. So rest is good. Going somewhere else, getting our mind off what we normally do, yes, that's good. Spending time with friends and family, yes, that's good. But oftentimes that feeling that we are not satisfied still lingers, still there. And for some of us, we knew that moment when we gave our hearts to Christ and we started to follow God, something shifted and there was a fulfillment, amen. And there was a happiness and there was a joy. And maybe you are on that side of the aisle where you started to follow God, you understand that fulfillment, but as time progressed, all of a sudden you found yourself hungry again. I don't know if you're there. And it seems like you're doing most of the Christian stuff. I come to church, there's fellowship, go to small group, I read my Bible, I pray, but I don't know what it is, but there's just something. Still hungry, still thirsty, there's still a longing for something. I don't know if you find yourself there maybe this morning. And it would be the same as, you know, you spend time in the Word, you go and see how the meal is made. That's what you do in Scripture, get the ingredients. You pray, you put the meal in the oven. It is baking. You set the table, you have fellowship, you come to church, you go to a small group, the table is set. But at the end of the day, you go home, nobody ate anything. You're still not full. Something's still lacking. Anybody identify with that? Anybody ever feel like that? And there's the one just unsatisfied in general, chasing the next thing and the next thing, and it just leaves me empty. And then there's this following God, and there was a fullness, but it seems like the longer I follow, the hungrier I become again. What's going on here? So in light of those two questions, let's read together and see what we can learn. Quite a big passage of Scripture, John 4, from verse 5 to 42. So let's dive in and read together. We are only going to look at half of the verses, don't worry. I'm just kidding. We are going to look at three or four. John 4, verse 5 to 24. So we came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. It's midday. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater?" That sounds like a Black Friday deal, ne? Living water, thirsty, never come to drink again. But she spots the scammer. You don't even have something to draw the water with. "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to the woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. The worship you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Jesus, then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek? What are you talking with her? So the woman left water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I've ever did. Can this be the Christ? So they went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. And others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed here 2 days. And many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. Big passage of scripture, like I said, a lot of things you can speak about and a lot of theological depth in that passage of scripture. But to get to the heart of what Jesus is trying to explain here to the woman and to his disciples, and in both cases he uses something physical. We see here in verse 10 and also in verse 32. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that he's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And to the disciples he says, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And in both cases, Jesus is explaining to them that there is a longing inside of you that is not fulfilled. We are body, spirit, and soul. And yes, for the body we drink the water, we feel the satisfaction, and for the body we eat the food and we feel the satisfaction. But in our spirit and in our soul, there's something that we long for. There's a void there that we are trying to fill. And many times we try and fill this void in the wrong way. And Jesus is saying that one, there's wrong ways of trying to fill this void, and then there is the offer that Jesus brings to fill the void. And so maybe let's first look at what the woman says. He's speaking to this woman, and just to kind of understand the context here, that this lady is coming in the middle of the day to come and draw water when the sun is hot. The ladies of the town used to come in the mornings or at night to draw water. But she's coming here alone. Why? Because she's despised, most likely, by her community. Why? She had five husbands. And the one that she's with now is not a husband. She's not included in the community. She's a reject. She's not welcomed with the other ladies. And here this lady goes to draw water and Jesus is busy speaking to her, inviting her into this relationship with him so that she can experience true fulfillment and true joy. And one of the things we see here, that just after she asked Jesus to give her this water, what does Jesus say? We read here in verse 15 to 18. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty. I have to come here to draw water. Isn't that interesting? You know, Jesus is giving her the invitation. There's something that I can give that will truly satisfy you. And she actually says, okay, give me the water. And what is Jesus' response? Interesting one. You know, you've expected something like, okay, give me your cup. Then I can fill it for you. But Jesus says, go call your husband and come here. Isn't that interesting? Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. And what Jesus is trying to explain to her is, you are trying to fill the void in the wrong way. Husband number six won't work. Just like husband number one didn't work. The void that you are feeling, the emptiness that is in there, you don't fill it in that way. You know, one of the definitions of sin is to try and fulfill a legitimate need by illegitimate means. Trying to fulfill a legitimate need by illegitimate means. How often do we do that? Legitimate need, the void's there, the longing's there. But we try and fulfill it in the wrong way. Except of entering into a relationship with God, which is the way we were created, in the presence of God, for the presence of God. Life is supposed to be defined by with God, for God. We try and fill it in other ways. Why? Because there's this lie that was sold to us in the beginning by the snake. God is withholding something from you. Following God will not actually bring fulfillment, but doing this, doing that. And so many times and so often we do that, the thing the snake suggests, just to find ourselves empty again. Amen. It's kind of like this illustration that you are thirsty and through the glass there's water glasses for sale, and through the glass it seems as if there's something in the glass. And you buy the glass, and the moment they take it out behind the glass and they give it to you, you see it's empty. And then you look up again, but that one really looks as if it has water in it. And we go again. We're following the shepherd into the desert, and he's saying, just another dune, another sand dune. The oasis is just after this one. And then we follow again, another promotion, another car, another this, another relationship, another this. Maybe this will fulfill, maybe this will sustain. Just to get there and to find ourselves empty again. And as simple as it seems to come and follow Jesus and to heed that invitation, we also see the confrontation of what is happening here. Yes, Jesus offers eternal life, but he's going to go there. There where you don't want to go, that thing that you don't want to speak about, that area that you may be ashamed of or trying to hide. He's going to go there. He's going to go there. He's going to ask you about that thing. And you see, many times we come to Jesus and we sit with his people and we go to small group, but we don't want to address this thing. We don't allow Jesus to come and heal and to come full and to actually give the living water. Amen. I feel for some of us, we are so close. We are sitting there and seeing how others are drinking, but we are not partaking. And often in church, in the moments afterwards where we turn to one another and pray together at small group, when that question is asked, it's kind of Jesus saying, hey, go call your husband. Hey, what do you have this thing that you are struggling with? Hey, do you maybe think this way? Hey, do you maybe have these longings? And then often we do the same as the woman. What was the woman's reply after this? So I see you are a prophet. You say we should worship there. We say we should worship here. She wants to enter into a theological discussion. How often would we rather go into theological debates then deal with the thing that Jesus wants to deal with? And we spend time having the deepest debates about Christianity and about Calvinism and Arminianism and this thing and that thing, but we are still empty in the end of the day. Why? Because we are not allowing Jesus to deal with the things he wants to deal with. And what this woman realized in this, a woman despised and rejected by a community, that Jesus, the Messiah, when she realized it was him, the Messiah is coming, the Christ is coming. Jesus say, I who I'm speaking to, I'm He. And in that moment, something just happens. Light bulbs go on. The one that knows that this is my sixth husband and he's not yet my husband, who knows everything about me, and still he invites me into a relationship with him. Still he says, ask of me and I will give you a drink. Man. She even forget about the physical thirst. She left her jars and she ran to town. She forgot the people didn't like her. Hey, julle kom kyk. Hey, everybody come look. Someone that told me everything I ever did. And that was not the whole story, eh? And yet, he invites me into a relationship with him. In other words, come see a God who knows every single detail about your life, still forgives, still extends grace. Come behold. Come behold this. And the people believe because of a testimony, but after Jesus has been with them a couple of days, they realize the same, amen. At first we believe because you said, but now we've seen for ourselves. He really does know all that we've ever done. And still invites us into a relationship with Him. That takes us to the first point this morning. Jesus gives living water to all who ask. And for us sitting here this morning, you are chasing the next thing and the next thing and the next promotion and this thing and maybe that and maybe if I have this. Jesus is saying, stop. Stop, recognize, look, and ask. But yes, is there going to be a confrontation? Will Jesus go there? Yes. Yes, He will. But man is going to bring freedom. It's going to lead to joy. You see, the enemy and the world sells us this lie. If people know what you've done, if God knows what you've done, man, that's going to be weird and awkward. I mean, how many times have we felt like that? From a young age, you did something and you're like, yes, if my parents know, it is not going to be good. If my friends know, if the teachers know, we've done stuff that we don't want people to know. Doesn't matter how big or small it was. But then the book of John in 1 John 1, they write to the church and John says to them, we are writing these things to you, yes, to have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And we are also writing these things to you so that your joy might be full. God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. So walk in the light as He is in the light. Isn't that interesting? Scripture says when we come out of the darkness, when we walk into the light, when we really have fellowship with one another and we confess our sins to one another and we do real life together, that brings joy. Because as people, our deepest desire is to be fully known and fully loved. Amen. But our fear is to be fully known and then rejected. But what if they know and they reject me? And so we often pretend and we are accepted, but it's superficial and it's shallow and we don't get the fulfillment we need. We do it with God and we do it with one another. But ask of Him and He will give you that drink. Amen. If you've never surrendered to God, if you've never experienced that satisfaction, the invitation stands, like Anu said, that invitation stands. But do know, God will go there. And not because He likes to go there, but because He likes you. And He wants to give you life, and life in abundance. And this is how it happens. Amen. Allow God to deal with the things that He wants to deal with. I don't know if you also do it, but I sometimes pray, and then when God tells me something in prayer that I need to go and do, or something I need to confess to my wife, or my parents, and whomever, I pray louder as if I don't hear Him. I don't know if you've ever done that. Am I alone here? I see some heads nodding. Maar in elk geval, God knows what He's doing and why. And so this is for those who've never started to follow God. But now for the group of people that maybe have started following God. And you've experienced this initial fulfillment and that joy and that satisfaction and this water welling up inside of you. But now it's as if this water needs somewhere to go. Moet nou uitvloei iewers heen. Iets moet nou gebeur. Something needs to happen. I don't know what it is. But I pray, read my Bible, go to church, go to small group, but it just feels like we're not eating the meal. We're seeing how the meal needs to be made. We're putting it in the oven. We're setting the table, but we don't eat the meal. Don't know if you feel like that. Maybe at the moment. And for every Christian, this kind of junction will come. There will come a time in your Christianity that you will feel frustrated. And the warning is that if we do not do what God calls us to do, we'll either become critical and bitter, with passivity included, yes, some are for free, Black Friday special, or we will become deceived, or we will grow. That's your three options. Bitter, critical, passive, deceived, or grow. So which option do you choose? A, B, or C? I'm thinking all of us want to choose C, yeah. But how does that happen? You see, Jesus speaks to the disciples. He says to the disciples as they come back to go and get food. Verse 31, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. You know, and when I read this, it must have been a bit frustrating following Jesus. Because sometimes it's just like he aspres wants to confuse people. He just sent the disciples to go get food. Now they come back and they say, yes, here's the food. And he says, no, I have food to eat that you don't know about. I'm like, okay, but did you send us away so that you can eat alone? You didn't want to share whatever you had with us? Who's done that with their kids? Just to check. Who has had something that you wanted to eat and the kids were there and you were like, okay, but quickly just go check a thing for me. I've done that also. Because that they had too much to eat already. It wouldn't have been good for them. That's all. And he said, so his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You see, as a Christian, we come to faith, we join a church, and there's these encounter things, and there's Bible school, and there's stuff that we now need to learn, and everything is new to us, and maybe depending on the area of life that you come from, you're learning a lot, and man, this is great. And we are feeling like we are growing, and we are joining a small group, and these weird people are now my friends, and we are doing life together, and that's nice. And then at a point, you start to get, I don't know what needs to happen now. I've done all the courses, I've done the Bible school, been in church for a while, and something inside of me is just not satisfied. I need to do something. And now here's what's either going to happen. Jesus now calls us to go and share what we have learned. Every Christian is called to go and make disciples, to go and tell people about Jesus, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. All of us is invited into that. And if that doesn't take place, then we start to feel that frustration. I like the new thing that I learned, but I'm not learning so many new things anymore. And I don't know if I'm growing. And if you don't step out, like we spoke last week, yes, we feel ill-equipped and not ready for it, but as we obey, God forms us, God shapes us. As we start to do what He's called us to do. But if we don't do that, we'll come bitter and critical and passive. And we'll sit back. And we'll start to be those people that wants the chairs with the way we want it, the lights the way we want it, the sound mustn't be too hard or too soft. At least every now and again they must play two songs that I like and can sing along with. Preach about the stuff I like, do the small group courses that I want to do, because we've now become consumers. I just want it to be my way. If the outflow doesn't come. But if the outflow comes and we evangelize, we invite people to church, we disciple others, then we don't care about the way the church, the seats sit and the lights work and the songs we sing. It's about God and reaching people, amen. It's so important for us to understand this. Or we will become deceived. Why? Because we're in this culture of learning new things and I need to learn the new thing. I need to be the guy at small groups that says, this week I saw this and heard this and this podcast said and that guy's book said this.
And then eventually a new thing becomes a strange thing because the gospel remains the gospel. Amen. And then we drift and become deceived. And maybe you know people like that. Maybe you've been there. But because of this urge to constantly learn something new, you found yourself in a very strange place. Or you've seen people that end up in weird places. Or every time you meet them, it's something new. Then it's the Jewish roots movements. Now they are wearing those tassels and they are doing the feasts again and they are not eating pork. And then you see them and they are eating the pork again and they are now doing this thing and they have this trumpet that they blow in this way. And there's always this new thing. But Jesus calls us, no, my food, what will sustain, what will fulfill you, what will satisfy you is to do the will of him who sent you. Share that gospel message. Invite that person to church. Say to someone, hey, I'm going to meet you every second week for a coffee and we're just going to discuss the Bible. Let's read together. Let's pray together. Let's start somewhere. Amen. And as we saw last week, God forms us as we follow him. Follow me and I will make you. Start to follow. Step out in obedience. And allow God to come and form you. He says to the disciples, and I end off with this, verse 35 to 38. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? And how many times in a different way we'll say we first need to, and eventually we will, but we first want to do this course, learn a little bit more, just a couple of months till. And Jesus said, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Think about your family where you are going this holiday. I tell you, lift up your eyes. The fields are white for harvest. Think about going to work this week. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. See that the fields are white for harvest. Yes, there's a bit of an anxiety maybe attached to it, a bit of a uncertainty. Will this work? Won't this work? What will they say? Obey. Step out. Allow God to form you as you follow him. And you will see that there is nothing else that satisfies in the same way. Seeing someone surrender to God, seeing someone beginning to follow God, man, that is beautiful. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you. I sent you to reap. For that which you did not labor. And the day you gave your heart to Christ, the day you started to follow him, he saved you and he sent you. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians 5, speaking about the message of reconciliation, he said he saves us and gives us the message of reconciliation. Every Christian is saved and sent. The day you are saved, you are also sent. And this sustains, this fulfills like nothing else. But like we said last week, this is something that you need to do to experience it. Christianity is one of those things, if people tell you, how is it? You're like, you have to jump for yourself if you want to know how it feels like. This isn't, you know, one of those cases where a new burger comes out and I explain to you, yes, this burger. It's this way, and when you taste it, it's like this, first smoky, then sweet, and oh, it's just so nice. And after me explaining to you the burger, you're like, ew, that satisfied me. You explained it so well that I don't even have to go and eat it now. That doesn't happen, amen. And in the same way, you have to go. You have to go eat the burger. You have to go drink the water. Or for those ketoing, you need to eat the steak and the lumi. You need to do it yourself. And experience that fulfillment that comes. And yes, there's a bit of hesitation, but God forms us as we follow him, amen. Takes us to the second point. Our food is to proclaim to all who thirst that living water is found in Jesus alone. That's our food. That fulfills, that sustains, that gives meaning to life. Amen. And we don't do this so that we can be accepted. No, this flows out of that place of acceptance. Out of understanding who Jesus is, who we are, and how much he's already done for us and saved us. So important to understand that. I'm going to leave us today with three reflection points. The points are the following. Where do you often seek fulfillment? Where do you often seek fulfillment? If that feeling of emptiness comes, or that is dissatisfaction a word? Discontentment, I think, is better. When discontentment comes, where do you try and seek this fulfillment? Two, are you trying to avoid an area that God wants to speak about? Is it that area where you go call your husband and you now want to speak about worshipping there or worshipping here? And number three, what step towards evangelism and discipleship is God inviting you to take? What one step is God inviting you to take? Maybe for someone who's joining a small group, taking a step towards that discipleship. Maybe for someone is just simply saying to that person at work, you wanted to pray for them for a couple of times, but you just haven't had the courage. Just to ask them, hey, can I pray for you? That's a step. It's a step. And as we follow, God forms us. Amen. As we follow, God forms us. Or maybe you are concerned about that family member or that friend that you're going to see in the holidays. And this is a divine opportunity. God is saying, okay, have the conversation. Speak about it. Will it maybe be uncomfortable afterwards? Yes, maybe. But our food is to do the will of Him who sent us. It will satisfy you. Let me pray for us.